started a couple weeks ago and talked about worry. Sometimes you find yourself being a worrywart. Do I have this on, or did I actually turn it off? It's on? Okay. And the Word of God teaches us that when we worry, we're really doubting God. We're doubting His love. We're doubting His sovereignty in our life. And then I transitioned from there talking about hope. And I find it very interesting. As I am thinking about these, we have Mike always hands a little paper out in our Sunday school class. And I'm just going to read a couple of the statements because I wasn't done studying yet, Mike. I study for my sermon even while I'm preaching. So, but when something works well in it, it's just like, why not talk about it? You know that we're in an election cycle. And you say, well, you know, so many people don't vote. That's okay. That's no problem. You know, I think we ought to. But a lot of times we think the only people in America that get stressed are the voters, right? Because we got this big battle going on, and we've been in this four-year, maybe six-year election cycle. They already started talking about the 2020 election, haven't they? I've heard some people talking about that already. It's just like, I don't even know what tomorrow's going to hold, do you? Well, notice this. It says, for many, the election can't get here soon enough. According to the American Psychological Association, more than half of Americans' adults say the election has been a large or significant source of stress for them. Why would it be stressful? That's interesting. Do you realize this? Listen to this. So-called election stress disorder is just part of a larger picture. Nearly 3 out of 4 adults report feeling stressed about money at least some of the time. 80% of workplace accidents and doctor visits are attributed to stress. Well, I'm going to tell you why. You're glad you came to church today because you're going to learn something absolutely incredible. Do you know why we have stress in our life? Because we have misplaced hope. That's what it all comes down to. Now, I want to make it simple. It is that simple. Misplaced hope. If your hope, now watch this. If your hope is who is going to hopefully put their right hand on the Bible on January 20th, is that when Inauguration Day is, right? January 20th, did I get that right? Come on, you political scientists. Close enough, okay? And say they're going to uphold the Constitution. If your hope is in that leader, then right now I imagine you're walking around like this. Right? Or, watch this, if your hope is in your ingenuity to plan out your years and spend your money wisely, you think, well, what happens? What happens when gas goes to $4 a gallon? I can remember writing checks for fuel oil at $4.12 a gallon, and I could only afford 200 gallons times that. That's a pretty substantial check for just 200 gallons of oil, right? And how about, people that are worried about every little pain they get? If I was worried about every little pain I get, I wouldn't even be able to get up today, right? If my hope is in my physical appearance or my ability to have stamina, come on now, amen? Misplaced hope will cause you and me. So what do we look at the Scriptures? Because notice what he says here. We have this, and John is writing to show us what hope really looks like. I find that interesting. You know, we talk about, the other week we said, hope is not holy wishing. You know, hope is a Christian wish instead of a pagan wish, right? You know, I hope. And it's just like, no. Hope is real, but I want you to see this. Where's that clicker? Here it is. We're going to go. John deals with a theme of hope and its daily application for you and me, for believers. And what we're looking at here is, number one, hope is the byproduct of abiding. And this is what he's talking about. Look at verse 28. Notice what he says. And now, little children, look at that wonderful word, abide. Right? That's what it says. Abide in him. Now notice what John wrote earlier in John chapter 15, where Jesus talks about the vine. I am the vine, ye are the branches. And verse 4 he says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. And so what are we looking at? The word abide basically means to remain. See, a lot of times, here's what we are. We're Christians. We name the name of Christ. We say, okay, I've trusted Christ as my Savior, Pastor. And you talk about that all the time. But it is not fire insurance. Well, you know what I mean there? Just so you don't go to hell. Well, I don't know anybody who wants to go to hell. Do you? I mean, just like, yeah. I know a lot of times youth workers would have teen rallies, and I knew one guy that would bring a garbage can up on front, and he would put a fire in there and say, how many of you want to burn forever? Well, I tell you what, man, you get results then, because nobody wants to. Well, if you want to avoid hell, you pray this prayer, and then at the end they take all these hands up. See, we're not talking about just being moved emotionally. We're talking about a life where we are walking daily with Christ, because that's what John's talking about here. See, he talks about the coming of Christ. He says this, there's going to be some people who are ashamed at his coming. And when you read the book of Revelation, it says that they're going to be so ashamed that they're going to say to the rocks and to the mountains and to the hills to fall on them, to hide them from him. But yet, for the Christian, it is a blessed hope. The glorious appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is hope. But we see the word abide is the idea that we are to remain. When we remain faithful to abide in Christ, we do that by living a life of obedience. Obedience to what he says. Our life as we live it. What happens is this, is we all want to live with hope, and we say, we meet Christians, and I was talking with Ina last night. Ina turned 50, okay? That's Tom's wife, you know. And had a birthday party last night, and she was saying that she works with children in the public school, and young ladies, and she sent a question home with the girls. These young ladies, these teenage girls, is that when you come back next time to my class, or when she met with them, tell me somebody, because it was a class about their own awareness of themselves and how the world puts forth the lie to them that they got to be, you know, a magazine perfect to be liked or happy. She said, tell me somebody that's happy. And the girls came back to class, and they said, they named this one girl, and the characteristic of this girl was the fact that she was a Christian. And I'm thinking to myself, as she was telling us that last night, I'm thinking, well, that's good, but how many Christians do I know who name the name of Christ just aren't happy? Have no joy. You know why? Because they have misplaced hope. We're always sitting around saying, you know, what happens if this industry leaves the area? Oh, we're going to be financially depressed. What happens if, you know, I get diagnosed with this disease? Fred Nicelander was just diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. We visited him in the hospital on Wednesday. Was that Wednesday? Yeah. And he's sitting there. You know what he said in the hospital sitting there? Of course, you got to talk real loud to Fred. Okay? And he says, well, whatever the Lord has for me. That's his trust. That's his hope. Amen? That's what it's all about. And it's because of this. As I have gotten to know Fred Nicewinder, is even though Fred could not come here and he was hindered physically from coming here, he came here as often as he could, but it was more than that. He had a genuine walk with Christ. What? Same thing. Let's go back to that verse. Abide in me and I in you. Amen? That's what it says. And that fruit comes forth in our life. What fruit are you producing? Well, that takes us to number two. It says, hope is realized in righteousness. And this is what this passage says. Verse 29 goes on. Because notice, what's John talking about? John is talking about hope and its application in my life. My daily life. Not my church life. See, we come into church and we come in and we go, oh. And most of us have taken time today to wash our face. Right? Most of us. See, now, I know I have been cursed with this hair because I can comb it, I can, but my daughter, last time she cut my hair, it's so funny, my daughter, she's trying to keep me young, you know. They buy me American Eagle jeans for Christmas, and so, you know, I told her, I said, why don't you just get me a pair of those skinny jeans? Can you imagine me walking around a pair of skinny jeans? Why, there would be people throwing up everywhere, okay? I understand that. But she said this last time she cut my hair, you know what she did? She said, Dad, can I moose your hair? I'm thinking, where did she get a moose? You know, going to come in and lick my head, right? And I said, why not? Oh, she goes, she's all excited. And she gets it like this. And she goes, now doesn't that look nice? I don't know. I have to ask my wife what to put on in the morning. I said, now watch this. Does this match? She said, this one. She said, yeah. I said, oh, I can't see that. So I'm trusting her. If I don't match today, it's her fault. Okay? But here's the thing. It's, you know, my hair stands up. And so we try to make ourselves presentable when we come in here. And it's just like, okay. And we know how Christians ought to act. And how are you to, oh, I'm just wonderful. Right? You know, Mr. Wonderful, or Miss Wonderful, or Mrs. Wonderful. And so, and then we leave, it's just like, oh, man, I don't know who's going to win this election. Oh, I hope they don't cut my Social Security. Oh, I hope the stock market does okay. I hope I bought the right stuff. Oh, I hope. Right? Come on, all right? Is that not where you live? I hope not. Because, it's like, did you ever notice this? Watch this. I'm getting older now, and I look at the younger people and the younger couples and say, oh, they've just got such a tough time of it. You know what? Everybody's always ever had a tough time, right? Always takes a lot of energy to raise our families, does it not? It takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of work to get old, too. Come on now, amen? Oh, yeah. Because are we going to live with hope? And what we're talking about here is hope is realized in righteousness. Notice this verse. If ye know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. And here's what it is. A Christian reveals his true character by his fruits. The Bible says, when Jesus was talking about the Pharisees, when he was talking about the hypocrites, he says, ye shall know them by their fruit. Oh, yeah. Fruit in our life is the things that we do. The Bible says that how can blessing and cursing come from the same fountain? Right? Amen? That doesn't mean, now watch this, a lot of times when we start talking about this stuff, we say, well, the pastor said that, and I got mad the other day and said some things I probably shouldn't have. Right? Did you ever do that? Or am I alone? Am I alone? I'm alone. Me and all my friends are standing up here on the platform today, right? Oh, yeah. Do you ever get angry? I want to meet somebody like that because I know within 15 minutes I can make him angry. I know it. I had this guy when I worked at Woodmode. This is no joke. Guy still works there, I think. He told me one time that he's a Christian and that he was sinless. He did not sin anymore. That's what he believed that. He believed that he had reached sinless perfection. And so what happened is, I have to admit, within just 5 or 7 minutes of discussing the scriptures together, he obviously sinned.
And then I pointed it out to him. And he didn't like it. And it's just like, oh, man, I hate when I do that. Now, what happens is, I'm not talking about sinless perfection. I'm not talking about the fact that in our life, there's many times that temptation comes our way and we succumb to temptation. Do you not? Oh, yeah. We don't glorify that, but we ought to recognize that. That's the pink elephant that's in the room. But here's the thing. What characterizes your life? That's what it is. What characterizes your life? Good works. Matthew 5:16 says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Oh, yeah. I can remember one time. And if my former boss from Wood Motors was here, he'd laugh at this because I still can't believe I did this. Sometimes stuff just overtakes me. But my boss, he gave me my work assignment for the day. I didn't want to do it. And for some reason, I said, I'm not doing that. I can't believe I did that. But I did that. Well, you know what I found out? I found out I did it anyways. Only now, my coworkers for the next month reminded me that I said, I ain't doing it. It just made banter for the job. At my expense. And as I walked out the room that day, I'm thinking, why would I do that? Now, I would be preaching once a month in a different church. I was teaching the adult Sunday school class. I was a deacon at our church. And yeah, it did, that moment, my life did not glorify God, right? Oh, yeah. So let's go there, first of all. But let me ask you something. What is the regular fruit in your life? See, a lot of times, a preacher will come in and he walks down the aisle and he's got that walk right down and he walks with his Bible just right. He's going to the platform and, oh, look at that man of God. And you think, I could never live like him. Right? Now, that's not, see, you know what that is? That's just malarkey. That's just, what we do is we perceive something that's not real. But what characterizes our life? Are we abiding? That abiding will mean that our life will be filled with righteousness. That's what it is. Doing things the right way. I was watching a movie last night. Well, it was interesting. See, I'm still studying. You ever see that movie about Bagger Vance, that golf caddy? I thought it was interesting. At the end of the movie, he was working with this guy that was a veteran that was really struggling, and it was, I think, World War I he was struggling through. And he got to the end, and he had this golf tournament in the bag, and he went to move just some, like, pine needles or a leaf away from the ball, and the ball moved that far. And the only person who saw it was this little boy. And he stood there, and he knew that he had to call a penalty on himself. And it possibly meant that he would forfeit the whole tournament. And he's standing there, and he looks at his caddy, and he looked at this little boy, and he said, I got to call a penalty on myself. And the little boy starts crying. He goes, you can't do that. You can't do that. I'm the only one that knows it. And I won't say a word. I promise. And you know what he said? You know what he did? You know what that? See, that's a characteristic. Now, I'm not elevating this golfer. But here's the thing. With the point that I'm making is that it's okay to call a penalty on ourselves. Amen? It's okay. Because you know what? It's not about what we put on a scorecard to turn into the clubhouse. We're walking with God. And I'm going to tell you the truth. Why a lot of believers live a life with no hope is because they are not making it a priority to abide in Christ. So they are, if we're not going to abide in Christ, we are going to follow somebody. Who are you following today? Who am I following today? Oh my. And then the next one is this, is that
Number three, hope is established in love. Notice how 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1, a lot of times when we get to the end of a chapter, we close it and we start our devotions the next day, and we don't necessarily connect the verses together, realizing that this was a letter and there was not, they're not, when they read this to the church, when it arrived from John, they didn't say, oh, now chapter 3 begins this way. They just read it as a letter. And it would be this, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Notice, therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. And so hope is established in love. Watch this, supernatural love, not my love for him, his love for us. Are you reveling in God's love? That's what it's talking about. See, a lot of times, as Baptists, we're scared to death to talk about God's love because, for some reason, I'm going to overplay that card, and then what I'm going to do is, people still need to be saved. Amen? Watch this. Did you ever think about this? People will go to hell that are unsaved, right? But they'll never go to hell unloved. Come on now, amen? Because John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. If a person doesn't receive Christ as their Savior, they're hellbound. And if they do go to hell, watch this. It wasn't because they were not loved. And you say, well, they had a mom that loved them, a dad that loved them. That may not always be the case, but watch this. They have a Heavenly Father who loved them. And loved them so much that he allowed his son to come and die, or sacrificed his son to die. Amen? Now, as us as believers, talking about our hope, hope is established in love. Watch this. And we go back to previous messages. Is when I worry, when I'm stressed, when I have anxiety, that's because I doubt whether God really loves me. God really cares for me. You know, having a toddler, now, Blake's not a toddler anymore. He's 5 years old, okay? I never wanted to grow up. Went to his birthday party, Tom's birthday party for his wife last night, and there was this real little girl. What was her name, Tom? Madison. I never met Madison before in my life. She'd come right up to me and went like this, and I thought, man, she is a judge of good character. She's just got it. She hopped up in my arms and she just looked at me like this. And I know what she was thinking. I've never seen such a handsome person in all my life. I know that's what she was thinking. And then the family ruined it all, said, now she goes to anybody. I said, well, you better watch that. Make sure you count when you leave the store. You might not have one. See, now, I took a drink. Now, what does that mean? That means I'm not going to tell the truth, right? That's what Judge Judy said. I have to remind you of that. But watch this. Got to bring Judge Judy in on it somewhere. Now, I want you to think about this. When's the last time you sat down and realized how much God really does love us? Amen? You're not going to compromise a thing that you believe by reveling in the fact, because that's what John said. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. That's the song, right? Behold, what manner of love the Father has given unto us. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath given unto us, that we should be called the sons of God. That we should be called the sons of God. You're loved today. Amen? Even with Blake, I get on the outs with him once in a while. Right? Right. With my wife, I get on the outs. Just once, maybe every 10 years. Okay? I love you, honey. But watch this. I'm never on the outs with my Heavenly Father. As a matter of fact, the Bible even says this, that when the Lord chastens us, for whom the Lord loves, he chase it.
Oh, yeah.
Even when I'm disobedient, my Heavenly Father has to come and chasten me. It is always wrapped up in His supernatural, never-ending, superabundant love for me. And you too, amen? That's our hope. Our hope is established in love. Not my love for Him, because you know what? That can be compromised at times. Just by the way I feel, right? Oh yeah, I remember visiting a fellow from Bakerburg. He went in for hip surgery, and I went out to Soldiers and Sailors, and I walked in the door, and he was in that much pain. Here they found out through that first surgery that he was allergic to morphine. Well, that's what they give you, morphine drip. When he got that, I walked in the room. He said, "Watch this. Of all the people in the world that he wanted to see, his pastor was there." And he said, "I really don't want to talk to you today." And I mean, he wasn't even smiling or nothing. And I said, "Oh, okay, see ya." I walked down the hall thinking, boy, what did I do? And found out, you know, sometimes we're not very lovable, are we? We're not very lovable sometimes, are we? And a lot of times when we're not lovable, it's to the people that love us the most. Come on now, amen? You're not gonna incriminate yourself by saying that. All the guys said, "I'm not saying that. That's loaded. My wife's going to hit me or that when I get home." But isn't that what we do to our Heavenly Father a lot of times? His great love for us. And then number four is this: hope produces passion. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 3, "And every man that hath this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure." See, we're talking about a fruitful life. We're talking about abiding in Christ. This is our hope. And watch this: "And every man that hath this hope in him." Isn't that straightforward? What hope is that? That hope that Jesus talked about, "I'm going to prepare a place for you." That Peter called it a lively hope or a living hope. Paul wrote and said, "Our blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ." Oh my, that's what it is. Watch this, the passion in our life. Are you lacking passion for the Lord? Are you lacking passion to do what's right? Think a lot of times, watch, you know what a victim mentality is? You know what a victim mentality is? Sometimes when we get done preaching, we create a victim mentality. Oh, it's only us. Few people, we're all alone. The world just doesn't understand us. Absolutely not. Listen, folks, we're on the winning side, amen? Come on now, amen? Isn't that wonderful? We're not alone. Oh my. There's not a place that you can't go today that the love of your Heavenly Father is not there. Come on now. Amen? And His sovereignty is right there. That's what it's all about. I don't know when Jesus is coming back. Do you know when Jesus is coming back? I don't know. I don't know if it'll even be in my lifetime. I do know this. I was 19 years old when I got saved, and I was told at that time that Jesus is coming back, and I am now at the big 6-0, and Jesus has not come yet. That does not mean He's not coming. That just means it's sooner on the agenda than later. That's what it means, right? Now, if He tarries, and I live my life, I don't know what my country will look like. I don't know what the world will look like. But I do know this: Jesus Christ said He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? I know this, that the promises in the Word of God is true, and that He will lead us every step of the way, and we have His divine favor. Come on now. Amen? Boy, I sound like a health and wealth and prosperity guy. Woo! Yeah! Hallelujah! But watch this. We have His divine favor. We have His joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen? We have the peace of God that passes all understanding. Is that not true? Is that not what the Word of God says? Oh, yeah. See, that's our hope. Watch this. my passion is to follow this world, and you know what? It's going to happen. I'm going to walk around like this. What's going on? Rather than be this bright and shining light in a very dark day for others to see that Jesus is their hope. Amen? Oh, yeah. What an opportunity to live. Come on now, amen? What an opportunity to live. What an opportunity when people come to you and say, well, you know what? I just don't like... back up. Erase it. Okay. Had my service on Monday at Golden Living Center. Went Tuesday for a luncheon. Really good lunch, too. It was broccoli cheese soup. It was really great sandwich. And a piece of cake. Oh, man, it was great. I got there early and I was visiting a lady. A new lady came to my service. Her name's Mrs. Moyer. I went into her room and I said, "Hi, Mrs. Moyer, how are you?" And she's, after some conversation, she goes, "I just wish I could die. No hope." You know what I said? I leaned over her bed and I said, "Mrs. Moyer, you've got your Heavenly Father right here with you every moment that you're breathing. And He has a purpose for your life. I don't know what it is, but He does. And He wants you to live knowing that His presence is here with you. You're never alone." And she said, "I am so afraid." I said, "You don't have to be afraid." Wow. Isn't that the truth? And yet, you know what? You know what the... You know what the number one, I think it's the number one epidemic among teenagers is suicide. Isn't that incredible? See, a lot of times, accidents with teenagers in a vehicle, they say they're accidents, but they're starting to open their eyes that a lot of these young people are wanting to take their lives. You know why? They have no hope. They've been told all their life they come from monkeys. They've been taught all their life philosophies that offer no hope. How about us? What is our passion today? Is our passion today to abide with Christ? He says that if you read that passage in John 15, he says that we literally cannot do anything for Him if we will not abide. Where's your hope today? Where's my hope? How much can you gauge that by the stress level that's in your life? Where do you find yourself? I'll close with this illustration. We used to have our own shop at Wood Mode, and so one day we put a joy meter up. And it was just a hand on there, and you'd come in, how you felt that day, the joy meter was all the way over. Usually on Friday, the joy meter was pretty high. Monday, it was pretty low. Where's your joy meter today? It's not contingent upon what day of the week it is. It's not contingent upon your physical status. It's not contingent upon your financial status. It's contingent upon your and my walk with God. Let's pray.